Hi there. Welcome to the Dean Blundell Show here at DeanBlundell.com. My name is Dean. Darren Pfeiffer is here from the rock and roll band Goldfinger. Hi, Darren. How are you? Nice to see you. The Darren Pfeiffer rock and roll radio program known as the Dangerous Darren Show. It's on iDobe and wherever you get your fine podcasts. Hi, Darren. He's going to join us today. John's here. Might even get him in. Brought to you by our friends at Owner's Box Fantasy Sports. Owner's Box, right now, where you can join, and they'll give you $100 when you do it. That's right. It's called a deposit match. Deposit match bonus. Cash money up front. Put it in your account when you put in $100. Totally free to join, by the way. 100%. But if you want to gamble for real dough and you want to play fantasy against your boys, prove yourself out where your wallet matters, ownersbox.com has you covered. It is the greatest fantasy experience on the planet. Get into it today and sign up for free at ownersbox.com. Blue, our friends at Blue Microphones, thank you for the microphones, the official microphones of DeanBlundell.com and the entire network. Look at you. Are you okay?
I don't know, Dean.
You're hiding behind your coffee. Anyway, our friends at Blue are also sponsors of the Show Us Your Pod contest. Enter your pod contest into the contest of the future, where we're going to pick some lucky podcaster to join the DeanBlundell.com network. You get a whole bunch of free stuff, including a Yeti X microphone, these headphones, and a Compass mic arm. It's awesome. Show Us Your Pod, brought to you by Blue Microphones and Ed's Fine Imports. His Gitch right now, or for the price of three when you use promo code GITCH3, edsfineimports.com. Get some Gitch for your fella. Get some Gunch. Get some Gitch.
Dean, can we start the show with an observation?
Yeah.
Your intro music is metal as fuck.
You like it?
Not really.
I don't either, but it's like, you know, we're left with...
Cock rock. It's pretty cock rock.
What is cock rock?
It's like, it sounds like it can be played by a bunch of guys in spandex.
Like licking the frets and the...
Makeup, and they're doing all the moves,
yeah,
and kissing the camera, you know, like that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. Also, it takes forever to fade. It's like a full 3-minute fade.
John's not a producer. He's technically our producer, but he's just coming into his own when it comes to like trying to figure out how to fade in and out. I've talked to him about a few different things.
The fade goes over your blue and your...
Tell Sean. Tell Sean. Don't tell me. Tell Sean right now. He's listening. Turn on your microphone. No, turn on your microphone. Tell him. Tell him how it works. Go ahead. I've been telling him for months.
Yeah, no. That's just my personal preference.
No, you're not.
You guys can do whatever you want. I'm just saying personally,
The
fade takes forever. And it bleeds over Dean's promotion on Blue. And
yeah, well, I asked him to do that. I said, you got to let it play. But I didn't know if I wanted him to let it play at 11 the whole time. So I'm trying to... We're working on it. It's a work in progress. I can't shit on the poor fucking guy.
I'm going to write you guys up a punk song, a punk intro. Something a little more heavy. Something a little more gritty.
Yeah, please do. Because I watched this like crazy punk documentary called Punk. It's a 4-part series by Johnny Varvatos, the guy that makes the clothes, and Iggy Pop. And it was fucking incredible. I woke up at like 3 a.m, wide awake this morning, probably because I was asleep by 8 because I was fried last night, like fried tired, not like fried stoned or anything. And so I turned this thing on and it was on Crave. It was this documentary called Punk. I'm like, I might as well watch it. Fucking incredible. I had no idea how huge punk was in the 70s and 80s. I had no idea about Canada's punk scene. I had no idea Joey Shithead was as big as he is in the punk community out of Vancouver, Canada. I had no idea. No idea some of the players that came out of that punk scene, like Duff McKagan, or Duff McKagan, is that how you say his name? Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses. And I had no idea some of those guys were in multiple bands. I had no idea about the Bad Brains prior to that documentary, like a black punk group in the late 70s in Washington, D.C. Like, it just blew my mind. It was one of the greatest documentaries I've ever fucking seen in my life. And as lovers of punk, there was no more fucking insane genre of fan of music back in the day. Like, the spitting on each other just seemed like it was like, spitting on each other, bleeding all over the place, a lot of vomit. It was like a fucking, I don't know, bodily fluid free for all every punk show. But the names that came out of there, the names that came out of SoCal, from the Ramones, even England, the Sex Pistols, the story of Henry Rollins and how he got into Black Flag. I was fucking fascinated. I'm like, this is what Darren's been lunching on his entire life, and I've been shitting on it. Why have I been shitting on this music? It's incredible.
It's it still is a big part of my life, punk rock. And I was at that, the company that filmed it was a company called Epics, and they might have sold it to Crave, I suppose, license it out. But I was at the premiere in Los Angeles at SIR Studios, very famous music studios all around the world. And all the players were there, Duff McKagan, Barbados, and Henry Rollins, and Johnny Rotten was there. And there was a panel, a Q&A kind of a panel with John and some other commentators. And Johnny Rotten and Marky Ramone, the drummer from the Ramones, second drummer of the Ramones, got into a spat. And it got kind of heated. No, they didn't exchange gloves, but it got heated.
Basically, what kind of heated?
Well, Johnny was like, you know, if it wasn't for the Sex Pistols, you know, you never would have been in the band, and you weren't even an original Ramone. And then Marky is cool, so a cucumber sitting in his chair with his wireless microphone goes, "Sit down, old man, or I'll sit you down." And then the crowd just erupts, and everyone's filming it. And then they got at it again, and then Marky goes, "If it wasn't for the Ramones, you'd be selling fish and chips in Scotland." And the place erupted. Johnny lost his mind. But poor Varvatos is there trying to ask legitimate questions of Henry Rollins, and Johnny, being Johnny, outspoken, me, was stealing the thunder. But it was comedic, and it was extremely entertaining. And of course, all the players were there, all the Circle Jerks guys, Bad Religion, Descendants, Sum 41 guys were in town that night. It was a great party, and it was just a lot of fun to be part of. And I'm talking to the producers; they're talking about doing four more
punk. Like, I'd fucking watch that in a heartbeat. Just seeing the old school punk grandfathers. Sorry, go ahead.
It's going to be less Black Flag, less Circle Jerks, less Descendants, less Ramones, less Sex Pistols, and more like Blink 182, Green Day, Goldfinger, Sum 41. Like going into the, you know, the 90s and into the 2000s, how punk has gone from its roots to going to the show and getting puked on, spit on, stabbed, or killed, or raped. Which was a real thing at that time. To now, it's like there's security guards and there's metal detectors, and you can get your hair at the Hot Topic at the mall now. It's so punk to be punk nowadays. Yeah. It's totally safe.
Yeah.
And I remember those days going to shows in the mid to late 80s. It was dangerous. There were skinheads. There were Nazi skinheads. They showed up with their bomber jackets and Doc Martin boots, 62-hole boots, and they came. They didn't give a fuck about the music. They just wanted to fight.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, there's like five or six Nazis. Let's move over here. Jesus Christ. And then eventually the people were sick of it, and we fought back. And when they showed up, we just didn't take it. We just started hitting them over the head with bottles and knives came out, and that's just Buffalo, New York. This isn't the hardcore scene in Los Angeles, Chicago, or New York, or D.C.
Yeah.
It was still pretty violent in Buffalo, but now it's gotten to the point where it is completely watered down. It's completely safe, and it's not like it was back in the 70s.
But the culture, like, when you got into music, so you're a young man growing up in Buffalo, and you got some angst, right? You got some teen angst. You did stuff like you put like old toenails in the banana chips at a bulk bar.
I did that. Yep.
At a bulk store.
That's a great story.
Yeah. You obviously.
I blew up the toilets at Fantasy Island on a field trip once with about 80.
Yeah. So, you know, shit like that. That was what we all knew was punk back in the day. And then when I grew up and I started getting into like suicidal tendencies, and I heard the Ramones for the first time in the 80s, and I was like, what the fuck is this? I don't even understand. Like, the guy can't even sing. I was used to people who could sing, but that wasn't what attracted you. The music didn't really attract you guys to punk. It was more the message and the lifestyle, was it not? Or what was it for you?
It was both the music and the message and the culture and the vibe. I mean, it was like, there were bands like, it was just cock rock stuff. Like, I didn't like any of the stuff that was made up, like Motley Crue, like anything like, shit, even I thought Triumph were kind of lame. Being so close to Canada, living in Buffalo, and like I was like, this band's like wearing makeup and they look stupid. And whereas like the Ramones wore jeans and t-shirts.
Yeah.
And the t-shirts were ripped and the jeans were dirty. And they just stared at the ground and did their thing. It was much more appealing. And the message was about, I don't have a dad, I don't have a mom, I'm not in school, I'm not doing well, but I got friends, and here's my story. And that appealed a lot more to me. Plus, it was the angst of the music. It was distorted. It was fast. It was aggressive. It was the songs about fighting. Songs about resistance. Songs about not conforming. It was all encompassing to me. It was a pill I swallowed real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and full of guys like you. Like, it's funny because they were going through the list of different people, and I was thinking of you when I was watching the documentary, because I know you're close to a lot of those guys. Like Jello Biafra, or Biafra, whatever you call him. He comes out in like a full black dress and a studded leather coat, eating a bag of chips with a glass of beer. And then they had completely regular cats, like the dude that started Epitaph Records. I can't remember his name. What band was he
in?
Greg Kurowitz. What band was he in?
Bad Religion.
He was in Bad Religion, and seeing how those guys have grown up, but guys like Fat Mike never did, and has stayed true to his punk roots and stuff like that. But what amazed me was the kind of individual that was into it. And it was all the fucking same thing, right? Where you would hear these guys screaming about depression, screaming about your parents not giving a shit about your life. And it's funny because you go back to Rush, better musicians, obviously, than anyone in the punk game. But go back to Rush, that's what they talked about. That's why as many people love those guys as they do today. It's like this real outsider movement. But what struck me about the punk movement was how in the early 80s, it just fucking died when a couple of punk bands made it, right? And then it died up until 91, 92, when the grunge movement supplanted the punk movement. And all of a sudden, grunge was the new punk, and people were rediscovering bands like NoFX. The Warped Tour then became a thing. And it was crazy how important the Warped Tour was in marrying punk music to that skate scene, and how important Kelly Slater was in marrying punk music to the extreme games scene. Like, it's just the history behind punk and where it's come from and what it means today was fascinating to me, because a lot of those guys still maintain that fucking edge. Like, you know, whether it's Jello Biafra, who he's still a space cadet from the Dead Kennedys, but to each one of them was just obsessed with his one thing, and that was authenticity. And that's what I fucking loved about it. They wouldn't give up their, like, you know, they can all get paid. Even Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day, guys like you who've touched the sun in big bands. You know, it was always a kind of person that just had a problem with success, even when that's why they were doing it. You know what I mean? The same reason why Kurt Cobain killed himself. But it just was, it's an amazing fucking documentary. If you haven't had a chance to watch it, watch it. It's called Punk. And I think it's on Crave right now this month in Canada. I don't know where you can get it down in the States.
Crave, I believe, was the distribution in Canada, but the company that built it was a company called Epix, E-P-I-X. Mm-hmm. Epix was the original home of punk. And Dean, I have a link. I know the guy who produced it, so I'll send you the link, and you can watch it again at your leisure on your computer.
I would love to. I'd love to interview the guy too, because the history behind the movement, and it's not a ton of history, right? Like, you think about the 70s, 80s, 90s to now, it's what, 40 years. But the history is fucking rich, and it's gnarly. Like, it's crazy. It, to me, I was listening to watching Henry Rollins talk about how he loved to get thrown in the crowd and just proactively punch guys, because he thought, I'm going to get punched in the face and it hurts, so I'm just going to start punching guys first. And I'm like, I spend my entire day avoiding pain. And these guys, I do.
And that was one aspect of going to shows, and going into the pit. And it was violent. It was really, really violent. And it wasn't quite my scene. I wasn't a big mosher or a pit guy. I like stage diving every now and again. If I was on stage, I'd jump out there. But some of those pits were vicious, 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 where guys were straight up punching each other and no one cared. And it was a way they got their angst out, their anger through that scene. And everybody in the punk scene, except for the Nazis, was family. You'd have guys that were, you know, dressed well, that would be considered preppies. You had nerds that wore glasses, that were like big fans of bands like the Descendants, because they had a big nerd following. You had you had punkers that wore leather jackets and had mohawks, and everyone kind of metal guys. Eventually, the metal and the punk scene, although they originally they were enemies, they started to blend together with bands like DRI that infused Suicidal Tendencies. First record was pretty punk, but then after that, they got into metalcore and infused hardcore punk with metal. And then all of a sudden, the metalheads started showing up, and the punks are like, all right, at least they're not Nazis. You know, let's go grab a beer. And metal and punk became chocolate and peanut butter. And it was a scene of unity and family. And I still talk to a lot of the old punkers and metalheads from Buffalo that I still am lucky enough to call friends. And you don't have that community in like cock rock. You don't have that community in pop. I mean, the internet's different with TikTok and Facebook and Twitter, but are Justin Bieber fans, like, are they consider each other family? Are the Beliebers family?
Yes, they do. They do. They consider each other members of the same illegitimate family. That's all the Beliebers.
So it was a ride. I'm still on, and I still hold the music close to my heart. But you mentioned Rush, and I like punk, I like hardcore, I like metal. Mm-hmm. I came from that scene. I grew up in that scene. I cut my teeth in that scene, but I still loved Rush. I loved classical music. I loved jazz. I loved reggae and ska. Fuck, I loved it all. I mean, so that's when I joined Goldfinger, and John was like, do you like ska? I'm like, yeah. He's like, do you like reggae? I do. Do you like metal? I do. And like, he couldn't stump me. Every time he wrote a song, and he's like, do you have a feel for this? And I'm like, yeah, I do. He's like, that's amazing that you know how to play that. And so you had to be, and that first guy that was, Topper Hedden from The Clash was the first guy that was able to like literally take anything Joe Strummer threw at him and play a beat to it, whether it was reggae or rap or punk or hard rock so being versatile early has served me well musically over the years.
So when you guys were successful, because you're like a ska punk band, Goldfinger, right?
The rock band. Just let me cut you off there. We were a rock band. People acquaint us with ska punk, of that ska punk scene.
Yeah.
But we didn't play ska that often. We had a couple ska songs on our records, but we weren't a ska band like the Boston's or Real Big Fish or anything like that. We didn't wear suits and ride around in scooters, and everything was checkered blue and black.
That was my least favorite. My least favorite genre of music was that shit, like Stray Cat stuff. I fucking hated the Stray Cats. I didn't understand why people got into ska. And I like the Boston's only because I like Dickie Barrett.
Stray Cats are more rockabilly than ska.
Yeah, I guess so. But I just hate that fucking sound. I always have. I've never liked. I mean, ska's different if it's done right. You know what I mean? But just for the sake of like metal ska, I've never fucking understood that. It's like taking two, like a guy on speed saying, let's play some ska and be fucking crazy when you do it. That's all it is to me. But I never got into it. But at the same time, you know, you guys, when you started out and you're doing your thing and you're all of a sudden in Tony Hawk's video game, what was that called again? Fuck, help me out.
Pro Skater.
Here in my bedroom. Was that, or was it a different song?
Superman, actually.
Yes, it was. Sorry, Superman. And it was like the opening song for Tony Hawk. I was playing it like all the fucking time with my kids when they were younger. And then I thought about you when I'm watching that documentary, because they were talking about how when guys get successful in the punk game, they get fucking ostracized by everybody in the game. Did the same thing happen to you guys when you started to make bank?
It didn't happen to us because we didn't come around in the late 70s and or the 80s at all. We were around in the mid 90s. So at that point, punk was really had a strong injection of pop thrown into it. So, and we never really said Goldfinger. We're a punk band.
Yeah.
It was always a Goldfinger. We're a rock band. We play a little punk. We play a little ska. We play a little pop, a lot of pop. Listen to Goldfinger records. It's pop. It's like Replacements. It sounds like the Replacements. It's not punk. It's not ska. It's kind of in the middle. And then every now and again, we throw in a metal riff. We did a lot of reggae. We did reggae. We love reggae. Mm-hmm. So we were all over the freaking map as far as style. So that's why I say Goldfinger was a rock band, although we are acquainted with the Warped Tour, skate punk ska movement, which I don't have a problem with. But we never got shit. Actually, that's not true. Early on, there was a lot of people that called us sellouts because we signed to Universal Records. And for like a good year, I was really upset until I finally realized early and quick that it doesn't fucking matter how much success you have, how many records you sell, what label you're on. All that matters is I'm able to pay my rent and save up some money.
Yep.
And buy a car, because I learned how to play the drums, and I learned how to play drums because I love drumming and I love music, but I also want to eat. And I should have the right to sell records. And, yeah. and if it sells like crazy, then hey, so be it. That, you know, and if I buy a house, so be it. If I buy a car, whatever. Yep. So kids came up to us for the first year, like, you guys are sellouts. It's like, we're not a punk band. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't wear like leather jackets and go oi oi oi, and we're not a punk band. We're just a rock and roll fucking band. So fuck off.
Yeah.
And then finally, I just ignored it. Kids would be like, oh, you sold out. You signed a Universal Records. I'm like, they don't like us.
I don't understand how that's selling out to anybody. Like, you know, it doesn't matter.
Really quick. Dude. The best thing about these people, that the sellout argument,
yeah.
they come to me at Goldfinger shows and go, you guys sold out. I'm like, well, you bought a ticket. You bought a ticket to my show. You're in my venue at my show arguing with me about us being a sellout. Why did you spend $20 to get in?
It was only $20.
My girlfriend
made me come. Yeah, I love those guys. Those are the same guys that are on Twitter, by the way, or social media, saying that stuff sucks. This sucks. You suck.
Yeah.
I hate you because you're successful. It sucks. I get that all the time from people. I got one the other day from this guy. His name is Kevin McGran. He's like a reporter for the Toronto Star. And we ran an article that's bigger than anything he's ever done. I don't even know what it was, but he was jealous. And so what he did was he sent me a tweet. Or sent me a text, and it was shitting on me because I couldn't get a real job in radio. He's like, yeah, you can't even get a real job, so you gotta do all this yourself. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I did. I did all of it myself.
Yeah, you just called me an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. And then he's like, you don't understand. And then Bruce Arthur, another fucking slap dick. Reporter for the Toronto Star. What a douchebag. He's same thing. He's like, don't listen to Blundell ever. Anything he says, he can't even get a job on the radio because they won't have him. I'm like, I won't go. That's the difference. The difference is I won't go. And his success is bullshit or something. I'm like, of course it is bullshit. This is all bullshit. I'm proving a point through this, just like you, through music, through the things that you love to do, are naturally better at it and can make money at it more than other people can. So all those guys are to me are failed musicians that come up to guys like you and go, you fucking sold out, your band's a sellout. Or some guy that comes up to me and he's like, whatever, man, you had to go and create your own ecosystem that's far bigger than ours, you loser. I'm like, exactly. That's exactly what I did. And so when someone's successful, and it drives me, I kick every day I go through tweets and I'm like, that person's comparative, it doesn't matter to me. Because that's what those people do. And I've had to figure it out along the way and not be angry about it when someone goes, you're a fucking sellout, or look at you chasing clout online. I'm like, or the one that kills me, it's like, dude, all you put out is clickbait. I'm like, that's the fucking whole idea, you dipshit. Have you been to the internet? Like, the fact that people like it means that I'm doing my job. The fact that you were compelled to click on something means I did my job. The fact that some guy bought a ticket to your show and he wanted to call you a sellout means that you won every fucking time. And you're still winning. You're living in LA in a nice house. You got your bills paid for. Life's pretty good. And you're a sellout. Okay, I'm a fucking sellout. Okay, I can't get a job on the radio anymore. Good, so I did this. And this seems to be working just fine. In fact, better than I ever thought it would be, just like you. You know, oh, I've got a house. I've got a car. I'm married. I've got, you know, things because you were a successful musician in a big old fucking rock band. So,
yeah, we don't hear that sellout. Anymore. It was like a year and a half, Dean, where we heard it and it affected me. But then, I quickly realized, you know, through help from like family and friends, like it doesn't matter what these people think.
No.
They're just going to hit you no matter what you do. And so fuck them. I mean, you have
the the ultimate punk move, too, by the way, is being okay with you, right?
Who have a problem with you. And then you have all the people on the other side who are huge fans of the band and buy all your records and go to your shows and buy your merch. So it's like this versus this. So. Yeah. Let it go.
I don't know.
Let it go.
I got told to let it go too yesterday because of this COVID thing. Hey, first of all, Darren Pfeiffer's in LA, everybody. Los Angeles, Darren Pfeiffer at Darren99 on Twitter. Darren Pfeiffer on Instagram. He's in Los Angeles. Los Angeles, City of Angels. And I believe you get a stay-at-home order this week sometime from Governor Gavin Newsom. I believe COVID Gavin is to the
Newsom,
point.
Yeah, I had a big problem with Gavin Newsom. He seems like a nice enough fella. I think his heart's in his right play, in the right place. Although he was recently at a birthday party in Napa, California.
Who cares without a mask? Well,
here's the thing.
Who cares?
You're going to be screaming the loudest about not going indoors, and you got caught indoors at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And then he was on a podium saying, I made a mistake. I screwed up. Please forgive me. It's like, yeah, I'm forgiving you, but not a good look, Gavin. Not a good look when you're inside a restaurant with a bunch of people in Napa, California having a party. And I mean, why can't you just be like, okay, look, I'll come to your birthday party, but I'm not going to the restaurant. So if you want to go someplace afterwards, maybe some winery in Napa, there, I heard there's a few of them there. Maybe we can go outside somewhere and have a glass of wine, but I can't go in a restaurant because these things exist.
Yeah. People are going to see
me. And someone's going to go click, 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 Gavin Newsom all over the internet. And that's exactly what happened. I mean,
yeah, people are going to see
him. Michael Phelps. Remember him? He gets all these medals. Oh, he's a fucking world phenomenon. Goes to a frat party and smokes weed. Everyone takes pictures. He gets dropped by Nike and Wheaties and all these other companies.
I think he got a blowjob from a tranny in there too. Maybe, but
he got caught smoking a bong. He had a bong in his mouth. They're doing a bong rip, and someone took a picture of it.
Yeah,
I have no problem if you want to rip bongs at a frat party. Go into the bathroom.
Yeah,
you're Michael fucking Phelps. I mean, remember we talk about intelligence a lot on this show, Dean. Me and you.
The lack of intelligence, how people display a lack of intelligence where they're so fucking stupid, like this Adam Skelly guy with COVID. So this guy that owns Adams and Barbecue, he let out of jail the other day. He's still grinding. He's got like $400,000 in his GoFundMe account. This guy here. So
It's up to 400 grand now?
It's up to $400,000. So let me just bring you up to speed. And
maybe I'll throw him a couple bucks right now. Hold on.
Don't do it. Let me just bring you up to speed. So this is the problem that we have, right, is that COVID has caused, like you said, you were really mad at Gavin Newsom. I don't care if anybody doesn't wear a mask. I really don't give a fuck. I'm not that guy that tells someone in a store to go put one on. I'm in line up at a grocery store. Someone's got and doesn't have one on behind me. It's not my job to go and tell that person to wear a mask. It's the people that are working there. And if they're going to be standing behind me without a mask, I'm not going to turn around and go, hey, fuckface, go and put on a mask. I don't feel like getting your COVID because I'm already masked up. I'm good. I've taken all my precautions, right? So I don't have that problem with what is going on with this guy. The problem that I have with what's going on with Adam Skelly at Adams and Barbecue and how he defied lockdown restrictions, started this little mini reject revolution, this mini moron revolution here of Canadian freedom fighters saying that masks don't work and it's only killing small business and we need to open up the economy and fuck the lockdown and all that other stuff. Everybody thinks that that's why he's doing this. It's not. It's because he's a grifter and he's looking for a whole bunch of money and you fucking idiots have given it to him. Case in point, Jamie Pate sends me this today. 10 organizations. He puts this on Blog.to. This is actually a pretty cool blog. If you're a big blog fan, ours is good. Not like Blog.to. They cover the best weed to smoke in the northeast corner of Ontario, that kind of stuff. But Blog.to put out this thing and Jamie Pate, who knew Adam Skelly, puts this out, what appears to be on Instagram. I don't fucking know. I personally know Adam Skelly, Jamie Pate says. This guy was making $1,000 a week driving cabs in Whistler and still went to the food bank for free groceries. Stealing groceries from poor people right there. While also selling cocaine.
You got to applaud his entrepreneurial spirit.
While also getting caught stealing from the liquor store. This guy's a piece of shit and doesn't deserve any help or sympathy. That's from Jamie Pate.
You have to applaud his punk rock spirit.
That is some fucking punk rock spirit right there, isn't it?
He makes $1,000 a week driving a cab, steals food from the needy, and goes steals alcohol. That guy's punk as fuck. Yellow Biafra would be like, that guy rules!
That guy's the best. I love that guy. But that's who he is. That's who we've been telling you who he is. And you know what? The best part of this entire exercise has been the people and the businesses that have sent me emails and tweets and comments on our DeanBlundell.com talking about how much of a fucking hero this guy is. Case in point, I got one today. I wanted to read this to you. This is their comment section. It's like a psych evaluation. If you ever wanted to do a deep dive into the psyche of the stupid, go to our comment section and have a look at some of the stuff that people put there. It's fucking incredible. Like Freud would tap out of our comment section. He'd be like, I can't do this. These people are too fucked. Case in point, I got this comment today. Dean, you sound like an absolute tool. Is that harsh? I don't think so. Not when you go around calling people human garbage. I called Adam Skelly human garbage. Did we not just read that post from his friend about him being human garbage? Sounds like he's fucking human garbage. Why are you calling names like that? So this guy's already called me two names and wants to know why I'm calling this grifter names. Because he's grifting. Because the guy wanted to open his business because he doesn't want to lick boots like you over a coronavirus that's been repeatedly misrepresented in terms of number and danger. It's not that bad, Dean. You crazy, Dean? Are you fucking nuts? You think it's so awful that this guy's allegedly using his situation to springboard onto bigger things? Big fucking deal. He took a very bold chance by standing up to the system. It pays off. If it pays off, then that was his good fortune. I see a lot of people looking further than their authoritarian agendas from this pandemic. Also, like Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, Xi Jinping, you choose to rag on a social business owner instead of these tyrants? Get bent, you fucking moron.
Wow, Dean, you are a lightning rod for these haters, a lightning rod.
Yeah.
Man, oh man.
But, you know, the proof...
Why is it so brutal?
Because the proof is in the person's assessment, or their you just got to read the words. So
yeah,
he wants to know why I don't have a problem with the president of China as opposed to this guy. Why don't you have a problem with Bill Gates as opposed to the barbecue guy? Well, because I don't know him. Because he's not being a fucking cocksucker like this guy is. That's why. It's pretty
Bill
simple.
Bill Gates and his wife spend close to $1 billion a year in philanthropy.
That's not true.
Maybe that guy should do some research.
That's not true. They're injecting people with the super chip.
Right. That's right. So I take that
back. This guy. This guy.
It's 950 million. I was wrong.
People like this. And this, I get this. Keep in mind, every day, I get this every day. Every single day, I get a tweet from somebody or I get a comment from somebody that tells me that I should be really mad at China. Or tells me that calls me a loser, a righty, a lefty. I've been called all of it because I don't believe that Adam Skelly's on the up and up. And so what do? They go, fuck you, dude. Why don't you hate Bill Gates instead? Well, because he's not fucking doing anything wrong, you stupid cocksuckers. That's why.
He's trying to inject me with a little microchip in my arm.
Yeah.
See? Bill Gates and the government want to know where I am at all times.
Yeah, that's
guess what, jackass? If you own one of these,
they already know.
They know where you are every fucking second of every day.
Every day.
I don't want the government knowing where I am.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I laugh about is every single fucking loser that tweets me from their Android phone or their iPhone telling me I'm a sellout or telling me that I should have a problem with China as opposed to what's going on in this virus is a hoax and that the government's just trying to inject us with little microchips. There are in the fucking phones, man. They know. They listen to everything you fucking talk about, see, hear, and do anyway. Accept it. Bill Gates doesn't want to shoot anything up your asshole so he can keep... You think Bill Gates wants to keep track of 74 million racists who don't give a shit about health and safety? No, he doesn't. He doesn't. You crazy bastards.
They don't spend hundreds of millions of dollars helping people. They could just sit in their little spot there in Seattle and just watch the world burn. They could burn money to keep warm and be fine. It's ridiculous that people shit on science. It blows my mind, Dean. Like, it's one thing to shit on religion, because I can laugh at that. But when you shit on fact, like, that's like saying... 1 and 1 is 5. Well, no, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Well, yes, it is. No, it's not. I will go to my grave. I will die on this hill. It's like, wow, that is just, it blows your mind that a scientist comes out and says, this is how it is. This has got this sickness. We can't really put our finger on it. It's mutating. It's changing. It's growing. It's spreading. People are dying all over the fucking place. We can't really put our thumb on it. And then someone watches that scientist who has whole life or her whole life dedicated to finding diseases and curing them and fixing it and doing what's good for humanity. This person sits in front of the TV and goes, that's a fucking lie. Mm-hmm. Isn't that unbelievable? Isn't that blow your mind? So anything that these people say, Dean, take it with a grain of salt. I know you're a smart guy. You get it.
I don't take it.
The guy who tweeted you is a fucking moron.
Yeah.
He's an absolute idiot, uneducated, doesn't care to dig deep and read facts. Or if he does see facts, he says, that's a lie. I don't trust science. I don't trust scientists. I don't trust the government, even though the government's taking their facts from scientists, which they should.
The new government's. Yeah, it is. And the new government takes their facts from scientists. I often wonder how, because you know the little picture I drew yesterday of the center square and the two little circles on the outside, yeah, left and right, mm-hmm, mentally ill, the middle's just everybody
trying cock and to balls make it work. From the top.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it was.
stands to reason that that those people are going to go away a whole bunch sooner than we think now with the transition of the Biden administration, which I'm excited for. Like, I've enjoyed the content, don't get me wrong. I love putting out hit pieces on assholes. I love watching people congregate and try and fight cops in the middle of a barbecue restaurant because it's closing and they don't want it to close in the middle of a pandemic. I love all the stuff that's coming out of this. But there's a personal toll that the time that we're living in is taken on a whole bunch of other people. And that's because you have an entire segment of society that's telling you that science isn't the answer. Facts aren't the answer. The truth isn't, yeah, the truth. And
anybody with a half a brain in their head, like you and me, well, yeah, maybe not Sean, the producer, but
Sean's
you
pretty
and me,
smart.
Okay, I just like taking shots at him. Anybody with a half a brain in their head says this is, it's, you break it down, Dean, all the arguments that we're talking about that you talk, yeah, about with this Scully guy, whatever his name is, you break it down to a simple little equation. And that equation is smart
or dumb.
This is dumb.
Yeah.
Intelligent, non-intelligent. The intelligent people go, yeah, I want my freedoms. Yeah, I like going to restaurants and movie theaters and rock concerts. But there's this kind of pandemic that scientists all over the world are like, we can't figure this out. We're getting a vaccine's coming. It's coming. Everyone, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But right now, we got to do this, this, and this in order to minimize deaths. Mm-hmm. And then smart people like you and me, and well, maybe Sean, say, yeah, okay, I don't like it. I'm going to stay at home. I'm, yep, going to wear a mask. Yep. I'm going to social distance. I'm going to wash my hands, blah, blah, blah. Then you have the other people that are like, nope, that's, I have my freedoms. I don't want to be a tyrant government telling me what to do. I want to go to the movie theater. I want to go to the bar. I want to go to the barbecue and support small businesses. Lie, lie, lie. Scientists are like, nope, fact, fact, fact. Nope, lie, lie, lie. So you have two different people, intelligent, non-intelligent, and that's what it boils down to.
Yep,
we're in the intelligent camp. I'm happy about that.
Hard to believe, isn't it? Hard to believe that we are actually enlightened. Dean Blundell and Darren Pfeiffer are two of the more enlightened people in a conversation like this.
I think about this all the time in the shower. I'm like thinking these people sit in their houses,
but I wonder.
They sit in their condos and they're like they're watching TV, like five or six of them in a family, and they're like, "Can you fucking believe that Anthony Fauci motherfucker?" And then another one chimes in and goes, yeah, fuck that guy. That guy's a fucking loon. Yeah, a fucking loon. And they open their
Bush
their old beer.
Yeah.
They get like 12 for like $3. Fuck that guy. I'm going out. And I'm not wearing a fucking mask.
Yeah.
I'm going to the Trump rally. I'm gonna, even though he lost, he didn't lose. It's a fraud, by the way. I'm gonna go to the rally. Hold on. And then they fucking hug each other, and then they fuck and reproduce, and then create stupid children. And this scenario I just painted is happening right now in Canada,
yeah,
in the United States, and other parts of the world, mm-hmm, and it's pathetic.
Well, and if you're in one of those groups, know that that's what's going on. Know that you're no like super conspiracy fucking genius. You're not a detective. You're not an internet sleuth. The bottom line is you were born with genetics that were really shitty, and you're just a little dumber than everybody else. That's really what it comes down to, dude. That's what it comes down to. It doesn't
just like to circle back and look at themselves and go, maybe I am being a douche.
No, because they're lost in a world of stupidity. It's like asking a 2-year-old to drive a car. They just don't have the ability to fucking get how it functions, how it works. Their feet don't reach the pedals. There's like physical functionality issues with trying to get a fucking really stupid person to understand facts because they don't want to do it. I've said it before. It's called cognitive dissonance. It's like this exciting thing that these idiots get to practice where they're like, I practice these two words. I know what it means. It's cognitive dissonance. It's because they don't want to believe it because if they run out of meth, they have to be able to go out and get meth. And if they go out during a pandemic, they can't find meth. It's because their parents were probably too closely related during conception. Maybe a second cousin, maybe a brother, maybe a sister. That's what it's because
they laugh, but it's probably true.
It's because they conceived children on a variety of drugs. It could be heroin. It could be jankum. It could be butt hash. Who knows what they did back those crazy fucking rednecks. But time out. There is truth.
Where can I get some of this butt hash you're talking
about? You take a shit in a jar. You bury it for 3 days. You open it up and smell it. You get high. It's the cheapest way to get high. It's called butt hash. Jankum. Look it up.
I've never heard that before in my life.
Pee and poop in a jar. Bury it in the hot sun. No. Don't do it. But
too bad I already took my morning poop today.
But that's technically who we're talking about here. We're not talking about people who, and so that's how I, because people go, okay, I don't understand how people could be this stupid. How could you willingly not believe fucking fact and science? And you hit the nail on the head. They're just a little bit dumber than everybody else, genetically,
or a lot.
Well, it's, you know, just to be a little dumber than average is really dumb, because average isn't that smart.
There's people in America that believe actual fact. I'm not joking anymore. There's people that actually believe that angels exist. We're leading the world in America leads the world of people that actually believe angels exist. There's also people in America that believe that Earth is flat. There's a lot all over the world. People believe this, but there are the flat Earth society. People believe, I think Shaquille O'Neal is one of them. He's like, I've flown on lots of planes. And when you see the Earth, you know, it just keeps getting flatter and flatter. It's like, oh my God. So, and there's people, the religious people that believe Adam and Eve were the first two humans on Earth, and we all sprung from that. It's mind blowing. It's mind boggling. It's to look at facts, corroborated facts that have been around for decades, centuries.
That guy's
flying the face of that fact. It's unbelievable.
That guy's comment to me in the comment section, just to kind of further your point, he says, he says to me, coronavirus that has been repeatedly misrepresented in terms of the numbers and danger. That's a guy that just says shit, because I've posted facts from the CDC, from the Journal of American Medicine, that COVID-19 in the first 10 months of 2020 has killed more people than suicide, strokes, and what was the third? Oh, the flu, the general flu combined, all three. 270,000 people in the United States so far have been killed by COVID. Just under 200,000 have been killed by those other three, including the flu. And so when I read stuff like that, I have to say to myself, well, listen, and everybody should say this to themselves when they're reading, is it's called critical thinking. Apply a little of it and it goes a long way, where I know what I've read and I know that some cock munch just left me a comment here trying to explain fucking science to me. I'm not listening to that, and nor am I taking it to heart, because this is just a road sign to me. Yield. That's all it is. All I see is yield.
Tell me about this timeout. Tell me about this cock munch. Is that a new like snack? You can get it like
cock munch. I'm running out of words, because like I've come really close a couple of times to saying the R word. Old habits die hard.
That's a tough one you gotta avoid.
And so, because I'm committed to not like making people feel bad about themselves just with my use of daily vernacular, it's probably the right thing to do at this point.
Yeah, that's why mentally handicapped is a good one.
But I cannot.
That person's mentally handicapped.
No, mentally disturbed, mentally ill. And that doesn't go out for people that have depression or anxiety. That's not the same. You don't have mental illness. You've got a malady that you're struggling with, and God bless you, because everybody does. But I'm talking about people who are willingly mentally ill. People who like, hey, doc says you got to take your meds. Because like, no fucking way. There's a big rally outside and I'm going. I'm not taking my meds today. I'm all jacked up on craziness.
I'm not wearing a mask. I'm going to hug and kiss as many people as possible.
Fuck the mask.
Because that's punk rock.
That's not punk rock. And that's the thing. That's the thing. Being anti in a pandemic isn't punk rock. It just means you're a cocksucker. That's all it means. It just means you're a loser. It means that you're a danger to society. That's all.
Dean, I got to jump soon, but before I jump, I'm going to tell you about the fight I got into with a guy on Facebook.
Please.
I basically, long and short of it is he was like praising Bobby Orr, and I was like, Bobby Orr, great hockey player, dead to me. And I got a shitstorm of people hitting me up. You don't know anything about Bobby Orr. I'm like, Bobby Orr's a Trump supporter, and as far as I'm concerned, he's dead to me. And then people were like, oh, you need to separate hockey from politics. I'm like, no, I don't. He supports Trump, and Trump is evil. And if you support evil, you're fucked. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, it's not that simple. And I go, it actually is.
You know, that, and that's a crazy part. It's that evil. But it's that simple for all the other celebrities who's had their lives fucking destroyed from them because they did or said something really fucking incredibly stupid in the past. This guy continues to do it. And they continue to say that that's okay. This guy continues to be that piece of shit. And those people who support him are supporting rape because he's an unapologetic rapist, pedophilia. He's an unapologetic pedophile, theft. Lies, all the shit that comes with it that we generally teach our kids not to do from the moment of fucking birth. That's what this guy is. And so when a guy like Bobby Orr says, vote for, and I'm tired of the Bobby Orr conversation, but I still like it, says vote for Donald Trump. He's doing it because, and I had to look into this, Bobby Orr has business interests that are tied to Donald Trump's presidency. That's why. Same with Jack Nicklaus. It all comes back to money. Anyway, listen, I'll let you go, buddy. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks for having me on, pal. Love you.
Love you, too. Darren Pfeiffer, it's a quick one today. The Dean Blundell Show brought to you by our friends at Owner's Box Fantasy Sports. Owner's Box is the only place to play weekly fantasy sports, premier weekly fantasy sports platform where you sign up free and you get yourself a $100 cash deposit right now. Right now. It's bonus cash. You put in $100, they'll give you $100. If you don't want to pay, play, you don't pay. You can play for Owner's Box, which is cash money. It converts. It's awesome. Go do it right now. Owner's Box Fantasy Sports, weekly fantasy sports. Get in the game. Blue Microphones, our friends at Blue Microphones, the official microphone of DeanBlundell.com and the DeanBlundell.com network. We all use them. You should too, including this Yeti X, a Compass Boom mic arm, and these headphones, Emmy Award-winning headphones. I never realized how important good headphones were until I got into radio. They're really important, specifically when it comes to broadcasting, being able to hear what you want to do. That's what these do. Nice and thick, too. Got some weight to them. I like that. So for our friends at Owner's Box Fantasy Sports, our friends at Blue Microphones, and, of course, Ed's Fine Imports, edsfineimports.com. He's got four pairs of Gitch for the price of three with promo code GITCH3 right now. Use it. It is premier luxury underwear Gitch. It's got the pouch in the front so you can put your baggins in there, and then everything's nice and easy. It keeps it all separated. You never want things sticking to legs. That I know. So buy Ed's underwear. It's called Gitch. You can get three pairs right now, and he'll send you the fourth for free with promo code GITCH3. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to join us at DeanBlundell.com. Check out everything we have there, including all 30 of our podcasts and whatever else we're talking about. It's a bunch of shit. News, sports. Ellen Page. She's now Elliot Page. I didn't know that. It's a blog coming up in just a second. Anyway, it's all at DeanBlundell.com. Sign up for our newsletter there. Have a great day. We'll see you soon. Bye.